This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Hello, Pennsylvania. How are y'all doing? This is Kathy Barnett. I don't know what's up with my ear, but I'm not really hearing myself so loud. So if you can help me up over there, that'd be great. How are y'all doing this morning? This is the Kathy Barnett Show. You are listening live to me here on WPHT. Hey, listen, I wanted to start off by saying, looky, looky here. Looky here. All of a sudden, I was telling someone the other yesterday, I am going to have to start coming up with brand new conspiracies because all of my old conspiracies have come to pass now. Everything I said, everything, right? Remember back in 2020 when I said the election was stolen? All of a sudden, I look out on social media and people are like, wow, look at that. Yes, the FBI stepping up their investigation over how China interfered with the 2020 elections. Remember, people like me was saying that election, there was a lot of crazy stuff going on in that 2020 election. I started calling it theft by a thousand cuts. It was like a little bit of everything was going on. And so now the FBI has come out saying that the previous FBI under the Biden administration initially sent out alerts to federal agencies of fraudulent U.S. driver licenses that were coming from China being shipped to the United States. And apparently those IDs, those driver licenses were sent to a lot of foreign and Chinese students. And apparently it was in the tens of thousands of them. How much did quote unquote Biden win by? Yeah, tens of thousands. And so, yeah, so now the FBI is investigating that. Senator Chuck Grassley came out talking about that. I think it was this past Wednesday. So we're going to hear more about that. But also, like I said, I got to come up with new conspiracies because everything I said has been proven true. The Supreme Court is coming out with a lot of decisions. And so they too agree with me that a boy cannot be a girl. Yeah, they just came out and upheld the decision that allows a ban on gender. I know people say gender conforming, gender procedures, but really it's gender mutilation, right? Because you're sterilizing children. But nonetheless, the Supreme Court has come out and upheld the decision that allows states to ban puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones. And they also said in their opinions that transgender is not a protected status. There is no such thing as transgender that to be protected, like a black person or a woman or something to that degree. Yeah. So I just thought that was very interesting because here at the Kathy Barnett Show, we are rooted in faith, fierce in truth, and unapologetic about what is worth protecting. And I believe that our faith is worth protecting. What do I mean by faith? Not that you're a Baptist or a Catholic or a Hindu. No, that there is such a thing as right and wrong. I believe that there is that morality matters. I believe that there is such a thing as right and wrong, and it is worth protecting the line between the two. I believe our family is worth protecting. I believe our country is worth protecting. Oh, yes. Do I have somebody out here from Tennessee listening to me on YouTube? But I believe those things. I believe that there are certain things that are worth protecting. And so even when I was being called all kinds of crazy names, I stuck my stick in the ground and I said, I'm not moving. I believe these things are true. I believe these things are worth defending. But what it also shows, you know, I was thinking the other day about Abraham Lincoln. One of his famous quotes is that public opinion is everything. With it nothing can fail. Without it, nothing can succeed. So public opinion, what the majority of you believe, is everything. And if we have the majority of you agreeing on something, you can't fail. You can only win. But that calls to question, who's shaping public opinion? Is it the media? Is it algorithms? Is it the fear of being called homophobic, transphobic, xenophobic? Right? Somebody is shaping public opinion. And if public opinion is everything, I think we should all be very careful and mindful and interested in who is shaping that public opinion. Because I'm of the opinion that the media is not informing you. The media is forming you. It's molding you. It's selecting what you see, what you hear, who you fear, what you're allowed to say. Remember, you couldn't say that the election was stolen, that there were people interfering in our vote. Now, I said it, but many of you felt the pressure to not say it. The algorithms are literally shaping your opinion before you even know you have an opinion. So I'm not homophobic for saying boys are not girls. I'm right. I'm not xenophobic for wanting a secure border. I'm right. I'm not anti-science for saying COVID came from a lab in China. I'm right. That's what I'm being proven. I know it's taken like 3 to 4 years. But I already knew I was right. I wasn't waiting for the Supreme Court to tell me a boy cannot be a girl. I knew I was right. And as a result, I would not be quiet. And I am not going to tolerate a boy competing against my daughter and stealing from my daughter. I'm not going to be that parent sitting on the sideline and just biting my nails and whispering, is that a boy? Is that a boy? No, if I got to feel uncomfortable, you're going to feel uncomfortable too. I'm running out on that track and I'm stopping the proceedings. I've already made up my mind. No, a man is not going to follow me into the restroom and I just stare at him. No, a man is not going to follow behind my child, my daughter, and I'm just going to sit there biting my nails because I don't want to offend anybody. No, if I got to be uncomfortable, my thought is you're going to feel uncomfortable too. I'm going to make it my business to make you feel just as uncomfortable as I'm feeling. Now, I didn't need the Supreme Court to tell me this. I already knew it. But we have seen that someone, something is forming opinion, public opinion. And if public opinion is everything, I think we should be in the business of making sure that the public is not ignorant and that the public has a backbone to stand up, put a stake in the ground and say, not on my watch, not on my watch. Will my 16-year-old daughter be taking a shower next to your 16-year-old boy because you didn't do what you needed to do at your house? Because something has gone wrong in your family. Now my family has to suffer the consequences. That ain't happening on my watch. That ain't happening. I've already made up my mind. I've already informed my husband. I've already told my children, don't be embarrassed. If mommy sees a boy competing with my daughter, I'm running out there and I'm stopping the whole proceedings. But you know, but what does that do for me? Yes, that's going to put me in a very precarious situation. That's why I've often said I feel like I'm being punked. I feel like I'm being set up. Because I don't have it within me, like most of you have had in you, to stand back and watch a man follow your little girl into a bathroom. I don't have that in me. I don't have that in me. I don't know what that takes. I don't know who I have to be to sit back and watch a boy shower next to my daughter. Like who are you? Like, who do I have to be comfortable with that? Or to see a boy beat up my daughter with a Stanley Cup and not tear down that whole school. I don't know. I think I'd be like that father who got arrested at the school board. Remember that a couple of years ago? That is the reason why Glenn Youngkin won as governor, because that father was like, this boy that you shuffled from one school to another school pretending to be a girl raped my daughter. And remember when they handcuffed the father and everybody just standing around looking? Yeah, that'd be me. I'm that father. Like, this isn't happening. But now I feel like I'm being set up. I'm being punked. I'm being set up to fail because I don't have it in me. I don't know what you have to have in you to sit back and watch all of this stuff happen and just do nothing. Can somebody call me and tell me what you need in order? Like, what do I need to have in order to sit back? Call me at 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Do I have time, Sean, to play that clip? Yeah, okay. Let me play this really short clip of Ted Cruz. Did y'all see that interview between Ted Cruz and Tucker Carlson? Oh my gosh, it was fierce. Can you play that real quick?
Not simply of myself, but of my many Jewish friends who would have the same questions, which is to what extent, and it's interesting you're trying to derail my questions by calling me an anti-Semite, which you are.
I did not.
Of course you are. And rather than be honorable enough to say it right to my face, you are sitting in a sleazy feline way implying it, or just asking questions about the Jews. I'm not asking questions about the Jews. This has nothing to do with Jews or Judaism. It has to do with the foreign government.
Isn't Israel controlling our foreign policy? That's not about the Jews.
You said, I'm asking.
And by the way, you're the one that just called me, I think, a sleazy feline. So let's be clear.
It's sleazy to imply that I'm an anti-Semite, which you just did.
No, I just when said, why I'm is that the only question you're asking? You answer it. Give me another reason. If you're not an anti-Semite, give me another reason why the obsession is Israel.
I love it. I love that. Now, y'all need to go watch. Tucker Carlson gave a masterclass on how to hold powerful people's feet to the fire. The people who are forming opinions, the people who are shaping opinions, what gets said, what doesn't get said, what gets supported, what doesn't get supported. Tucker Carlson gave a masterclass demonstration of how we are to interact with these people. Now, I don't care if you're for the United States getting involved in this war. I do care, but in this particular setting, I'm not debating whether we should join Israel in bombing Iran or not. I'm not in this particular setting. I'm not making a judgment one way or the other. What I love about this, what Tucker Carlson showed us. This isn't the best interview ever because they agree. No, what makes it so spectacular is that they did not agree. That is what is so great. And the fact that Tucker Carlson stared him in the eye and called him a sleazy feline for calling him an anti-Semite just because he asked a question. As I said, I'm not homophobic just because I say a boy is not a girl. I'm not xenophobic just because I want a secure border. I'm not anti-science just because I believe COVID came from a lab. And you calling me an ugly name just tells me you stop thinking. You're done thinking now. If the only thing you can do is to try to shut me up by calling me a name, versus debating me on why a boy is a girl. I believe a boy is not a girl. You believe a boy is a girl. Okay, let's debate. But if your debate is calling me a name and thinking that's going to shut me up, again, Tucker Carlson gave a perfect illustration. We should not agree. We have to get comfortable living in some tension. You don't have to agree with me. I'm okay with you not agreeing with me. But you're not going to shut me up. I was right. And for all of you who have allowed your children to cut off their, to sterilize themselves, to cut off their breasts because you didn't want to be called a name, learn from this. Don't feel bad. I know you feel bad. But you're going to have to learn from this. And you're going to have to love your child. And you're going to have to get the proper help that your child, I don't believe in shaming your child, but I do believe you need to go seek out some psychiatric help for your child. That is what we need to do, is find something that we believe is true and then stand for it. put a stake in the ground, stand for it. I'll be right back. You're listening to the Kathy Barnett Show on the number one talk radio station. Call me. Talk to me. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Blessings.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
We are back. You are listening to the Kathy Barnett Show, and I have a good friend of mine, as well as yours. You become very familiar with his voice. It is Mr. Joe Penland. Joe from Texas.com. You can go to joefromtexas.com to find more about what he is doing. Joe, you know, you and I have not always been on the same page when it comes to how we should handle illegals, removing them from our country. Like most MAGA people, individuals, I've been very consistent. I want everybody out of here, right? And then we get started over again. But I want people out. But I think as I'm paying closer attention to the fact that we're not going to be able to cut our way out of this debt. We're going to have to grow our way out of it. The manner in which Trump and Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent has the method in how we're going to grow, the one that they've signaled to, that we're going to be bringing in tariffs. We're going to be bringing in reshoring manufacturing. Well, if we're doing that, something you've been very consistent about is that we have a shortage of workers, and it's very difficult to incentivize the workers we do have to actually work because the government is paying them essentially to be very comfortable and not working. And so I find myself shifting. You and I started off not so much agreeing on this, seeing eye to eye on this, but I find myself when I look at the hard facts that we're going to have to prioritize how we remove people and bring people into our country.
Well, you're right. We have been on different sides, and we're coming together a little bit on that, and that's fine. It's okay to disagree a little bit, because we pick on one a little bit, and we get a lot out of that. You know, just, you're not a yes woman, I'm not a yes man. We speak our piece, and that's what I've always loved about you. You let me come on and talk, and you tell me, Joe, I don't agree with you, and that's okay. But that we agree on this, that America's in trouble financially. The only way to get out of trouble financially is to work your way out of it. We've already tried this, cut your way out. We need to cut out the waste, the abuse, and the fraud. We need to do that anyway. In good times and bad times, you need to do it anyway. But we've got about 10 million people working in this country today that's been here, like you said earlier, 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Only thing they did wrong was overstayed their work visa or their student visa. They came here on a work visa. It's supposed to go back in 9 months, and they got to enjoy this country that we have, that we take for granted. They were scared to go back, but they've kept themselves out of trouble for 15 or 20 or 30 years, working at ranches, working in businesses and everything. They don't need to go. They're paying taxes. They're subsidizing Social Security. They're shoring up this economy. We don't need to lose any more workers. We need 10 million more workers, not 10 million less. So we need to make sure who we deport. I proposed an idea to the speaker. I had published an op-ed in Newsmax, and it was about a presidential tariff of $25 a day on immigration labor. That's people that you suspect as an employer that may not have all the proper documentation. We run them through a vetting process that the government already has set up. If they're not criminals, they don't have a problem, no warrant, then that employer can keep that person if they pay a $25 a day tariff to the government. And I've talked to over 200 businesses and ranches that love the idea, and I think the speaker is pretty fond of it too. So I have two congressmen today that are willing to take this on and put that into a bill and get it before Congress to see if we can get it passed. Now, what does that mean for America? It means $250 million a day that we would collect every day. That's $78 billion a year. Last year, we took $67 billion out of the Social Security Trust Fund to shore up Social Security for 70 million people. This would more than cover Social Security and have us a surplus. And we wouldn't have to go out and do anything to Social Security. We wouldn't have to amend it, wouldn't have to reform it. Just leave it alone, and let's put this extra money there. That's a lot of money that would help this country. And we don't have to move your retirement age or move your cap or do anything. We just need to do that. I'm paying a tariff every day to my employees. We call it a stipend. You can call it whatever you want to call it. I have to pay extra every day to get people to come to work above their wages, above their insurance, above taxes, everything that we do for them, 401k and all that, that's not enough.
It's not enough to incentivize.
We have to pay truck drivers additional $100 a day just to get them to show up. So to have people that work, that's been working for me, or other people 15 or 20 years, I get to keep those people for $25, it's a bargain. We need to do that, and we need to capitalize on it, especially before we need to bring more people in this country. If we're going to do what Donald Trump wants us to do, to build $5 or $6 or $7 trillion worth of factories, we're going to need another 10 million people. Let's get this plan going now so when those people come here, we get $25 a day on them too. Then we got a half a billion a day. And that goes to shore up Social Security for legal Americans that's been here all their life.
Look at that.
It's a win-win on all sides.
And do you think corporations will be okay with paying that $25 a day tariff to bring people over to work in their industries?
Everybody I've talked to, here's the deal. I can pay $100 a day for four guys, or I can shut down one segment of the factory here that grosses $38,000 a day. You do the math. Do you think I'd pay $100 so I could work this one station that grosses $38,000? Everybody in America would.
Absolutely.
We're all in the same boat. They may not want to admit it, but I tell you what, they will admit it sooner or later. You take their workers away that they've had for 5 or 10 or 15 years, I guarantee you they'll come crawling back and wanting them people back. And they want them back today. I want the bad people to go. No two ways about it. If somebody is white, black, Hispanic, Asian, I want all the bad people to go.
It doesn't matter.
If you're bad, you need to go. But if you're working hard and you'll help us dig ourselves out of this problem, I welcome your help.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you, sir. And again, I talk to a lot of people. I'm around a lot of people. You've been very consistent from the beginning of this. And I believe that, it is certainly causing me to turn around and to rethink how we need to be more nuanced in order to grow our way out of this situation. So Mr. Joe Penland, joefromtexas.com, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it.
Yes, blessing.
Yeah, I wanted you guys to hear that. That was a much longer conversation, but Joe and I just wanted to just jump right into the middle of it. Edward, I hear you out here on YouTube right now. Edward said, no, if you're here illegally, get out. Get out. And Edward, you and I will not disagree on much at all. Mango Much said he agrees with Edward. But listen, here is the reality. And let me just throw this out to you guys, okay? Because I know this is a very touchy subject with MAGA. Yes, I want a secure border. I was out there like nobody's business talking about a secure border. But did we vote for ICE to raid agriculture fields in California, New York, and Nebraska? Mostly non-criminal illegals. Or did we vote for Trump to deport the roughly 20 million illegals who came into our country over the past 4 years under Biden? Because if I really think about it, if I pause long enough to think about it, I actually voted for Donald Trump to deport the 20 plus million illegals who came into our country over the past 4 years under the Biden administration. I voted for Donald Trump to find all of the illegals who are raping, murdering gang members, trafficking, whether drugs or human trafficking, to find those, not the nonviolent field worker who's been here 20, 30 years. Maybe we get to them, maybe we don't. But I know that ICE has a daily deportation target of 3,000 a day. And to meet that, they're going out into the fields, the highways, the byways, and finding people who've been here 20, 30 years, paying taxes, working, no criminal record other than coming into the country illegally. That is a very nuanced conversation. I know many of you may not be at that point to have a nuanced conversation. You just want everybody out. But the reality is that, you know, where is it? I was looking at some of my research I did, is that we have a low birth rate here in America, 1.6. A replacement rate is 2 and over. We have a workforce shortage expected to exceed 8 million in just 5 years. That threatens about 1 to 2 million of these reshored jobs. And so that is, we have a dropping participation rate. People are not incentivized to work. You just heard Joe, a very successful business owner out in Texas. He has to pay an additional $100 a day. That's on top of the competitive salary, he said. That's on top of a 401k. That's on top of health insurance and every other package that they put, a competitive work package that they put together. In addition to all of that, he has to pay an additional $100 just to incentivize people to get off the couch and to get to work. And so we have jobs that are coming back, according to Donald Trump. I'm so excited about all of these manufacturing jobs. We're going to need people to work it. We do have a workforce shortage of 8 million, they're projecting, in 5 years. We do have a reduced participation rate. People are not incentivized to get up and go to work. How do we do that? And so anyway, that's that. We're going to come back on the other side of the break. The number to call is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. We are talking about a lot of stuff. This is how opinions get formed. Give me a call, 855-839-1210. See you on the other side.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Guys, back up, guys. Back up, back up. I understand. You're pregnant, but let me get it back up. If you're interfering with this arrest, we're going to get the arrest. Back up, guys. Back up. Keep going. Back up, guys.
This is not legal to take someone without a judicial warrant.
Please don't put him in the elevator and then claim you have the warrant. You don't have a warrant for him.
I will let go when you show me the judicial warrant. Where is it?
Okay, I'm going to pause it right there. I mean, if you guys are on YouTube, you can watch the video that we're watching right now. You can go to WPHT on YouTube and you can see this is the comptroller, Brad Lander. He is running for mayor, so he's a mayoral candidate in New York. And you see him in this video interfering with the lawful duty of ICE agents. You see him locking arms with the illegal that they are trying to deport or trying to detain. You see this Democrat who is, you know, this is just performance art to him, theater to him, locking arms with this illegal. And you hear the others in the background. It's just a lot of commotion. And then they arrest this mayoral candidate, the New York comptroller. I mean, he's obviously not a great comptroller. Look at how broke New York is. So he's apparently not good at his job. But and you see all of this commotion, and it just defies logic that this is acceptable. This is not acceptable. Lawlessness is not acceptable. You don't just get a swift and a whim and say, I am going to put myself in between law and order, the federal government, and throw myself. No, that's not how this country works. They are making themselves ungovernable. They are making our nation ungovernable. So I am calling this segment Reprobate of the Week, because these people are knowingly dragging the culture into decay. That's what this is. Here's reprobate number two, the governor of New York, Kathy Hochul. Can you play that?
They're walking out of this courthouse, taken away from their families. They don't have the attention. They don't have the lawyers. And that's why the state of New York is providing $50 million to cover legal services for people who are finding themselves in this situation.
So here we have Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, providing $50 million slush fund to cover legal services for illegals who find themselves being detained. $50 million. Now, she's not writing a personal check from her personal bank account of $50 million. No, 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 no. See, that's our money. So we, the people, have voted for Donald Trump to detain certain people. I voted for Donald Trump to detain the violent ones, not everybody, but the violent ones first, and we can get to others later. But we, the people, voted for Donald Trump to detain and to remove from our country illegals who have come into our nation and who are violent criminals. We, the taxpayers, pay taxes so that Donald Trump has the resources to hire ICE to go and do what ICE is doing. And then most of what is happening in New York, most of the budget of New York is coming from taxpayers as well. And it's taxpayers' dollars that is going to make up this $50 million slush fund. It's not Kathy Hochul's money that's going to make up this $50 million. So literally, we have taxpayers paying for ICE to do their job, and we have the same taxpayers paying for a slush fund for legal aid for the ones who are being detained. We are literally cutting off our nose despite our face, and we're creating lawlessness. Lawlessness is a strategy for the Democrat Party. It's not a side effect. Lawlessness is the strategy. They are making themselves ungovernable. I always come back to you guys with John Adams. He said, our country is made only for a moral, meaning people who understand there's a difference between right and wrong, and religious people. It is only made for people who understand there is a right and a wrong, and who come together as a majority and say, we will consent to living under certain rules. We will consent that you should not walk into a crowded theater building and scream fire. We consent it. We have the freedom to scream fire. But as a governable people, we say, we don't want to create chaos. We don't want to create mayhem. We don't want to create disorder. So we are going to acquiesce our right to be free under the rule of God to scream fire. We're going to consent as a group to say that creates chaos. So we're not going to do it. We're going to acquiesce our rights so that we can be governed properly. What Democrats are doing is that they are intentionally causing us to become a nation that is ungovernable. What happens? Look at most of the world. What happens when people become ungovernable? You don't find peace at the end of that. You find more and more chaos. We got to come down hard on these Democrats who are really just performing art. It's just theater to them. They're not true believers in this. They're just doubling down. They're reprobates. They can't do right even if they want to do right at this point. And so the rest of us who know where this is heading, we got to become intolerant towards these reprobates. We need to come down hard on them. We need to demand that the Attorney General, that Donald Trump and the FBI and the DOJ begin to get hard on these reprobates. That's what I got to say. I'm listening to you guys. Tony out here says, let their love of the state embrace them completely. No, there no more love for these people. No more love for these people. Tony also says, interestingly, libertarians often say in resistance to tyranny, become ungovernable. No. What happened? Now, we weren't even ungovernable during January 6th. We were law-abiding citizens practicing our First Amendment. One of the five rights of the First Amendment is that we have the right not only to free speech, not only to the one of the five rights is free speech, obviously, but also that we have the right to come together as people and to allow our issues, our grievances to be heard by our elected officials. Well, how did Democrats and the Biden administration receive that? They didn't come out there with pies and hugs. They came out with the FBI throwing people into prison. Finding people, putting up biometrics of people, getting people fired. They came down very hard. And what did that do? That caused all of us, myself included, to rethink some things. We need to give Democrats a reason to rethink how they are behaving right now. Yeah, it's like we need them to rethink. And the only way they're going to rethink is if the DOJ, the FBI, Donald Trump, and the Attorney General begin to get to come down hard on these elected officials who are just performing art right now. Before I go to break, I want to give a shout out to my amazing nephew, Albie. Hey, Albie. He just sent me a text saying he is listening to his auntie. I love you, Albie. So listen, come back with me. Here's the line, 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Let me hear what you got to say.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand, On Demand.
Wow, that hour goes by so quickly. We've talked about a little bit of everything on here. I was just looking at Twitter right now. Islamophobia is trending. Don't allow these people. Now, if you have hate in your heart for a group of people just because they are that group of people, that is not good. But Islamic terrorism is real. Yes. So don't allow yourselves to be. Don't allow people to name call you into silence. You are not crazy. You are not overreacting. You are not woke, according to now. You are awake. You're just not woke. You are now conscious of things that are going on around you, and that is good. You don't want to be asleep at the wheel. You want to be awake. You want to be present. You want to be conscious of the world around you. And now that you are awake to the things that are true, to the things that are right, to the things that are worthy for us to protect, it's time to move. Don't move in anger, but move in purpose, because faith is still necessary. Family still matters. And this country is still worth fighting for. But no one is going to hand it to us. We are going to have to take it and keep it by force. That is what we're going to have to do. I was watching Benjamin Netanyahu. I was watching him, you know, he was doing his round last week on going from one American television station to the other. And I heard him several times call or evoke Moses. And specifically in one of them, he was talking about, he didn't reference Amalekites, but I knew the story and I knew that this was the story of the Amalekites. Remember when Israel was fighting the Amalekites and Moses needed others to come alongside him and hold his arm up. And every time he would drop his staff, the Israelites would lose. Every time he would raise the staff, the Israelites would win. But his arms got tired and he needed friends to come alongside and support him. And I guess that's the reason why Benjamin Netanyahu was evoking that particular passage. But I've studied that passage. And so as he was saying it, I started thinking about the situation the Israelites were in. They had left Egypt. They were in the desert and it was a dry place and the people were not having it. And Moses ran to God and said, "These people are going to kill me. They are thirsty. They are angry. There is tremendous lack. There is confusion and chaos in the camp. They are going to kill me. I am in fear for my life." And God tells Moses to strike the rock. The water will come. And then, of course, you have the battle that ensued. So not only was Moses fighting from without with the Amalekites trying to come in and destroy them, but there was also tremendous frustration, irritation, chaos, violence within. So he's not only fighting from without, but he's fighting from within. And I often look to that story when I want to say, okay, how should I order my life? Because America finds herself in this same situation. Not only are we fighting with enemies from without, the world is on fire. Everybody is angry. You have India fighting with Pakistan. The Bangladesh is fighting from internally. You have China eyeing Taiwan. You have Russia over here with Ukraine. You have Israel, now Iran, trying to draw America in. The world is on fire right now, people. So not only do we have great fire and chaos and mayhem on the outside of this country, look at what we're dealing with on the inside. I mean, people are making themselves ungovernable. How should you and I operate in a time like this? We should begin to prioritize what is most important to us. My faith. My relationship with God. I'm a Christian. What is your faith? What do you believe is true? You need to cling to that. And then we need to cling to our family. We need to prioritize our family. We also need to prioritize our own internal clock. What are we? How are we thinking? How are we showing up? Begin to get real clear about what is most important to you so that you're not dragged from this warring party to that warring party. Figure out what's most important to you. For me and mine, it is our house. What is important to us around our kitchen table? There are things we care about. There are things we really care about. There are things worth defending. And then there are things really worth defending. Get clear about that. Focus. Now is the time to focus. Focus on your home. Focus on your children. Make sure, don't send your children out into this world rudderless. Make sure your children know who they are. Make sure your children know there is a right and a wrong. Show them by example how to defend what is right. Okay, guys, that's me. Blessings. Take care of that which is true. Figure it out. Prioritize. Blessing. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.